Okay, good afternoon. Thank you all for coming. My name is Cody Gale. I'm a PhD student at Texas A&M, and today I'll be presenting a good portion of my dissertation research in which I have found that treating cotton seeds with the spores of a certain fungus enhances the plant's response to herbivory. And right up front, I just want to give a quick acknowledgement to the USDA NIFA for funding this research, and to those folks that are not listed as authors, but that were important to getting this research complete. So most of what I'll be talking about today is volatile signaling, and volatile signaling is fairly complex. There are multiple ecological roles, both above and below ground, but in a nutshell, volatile signaling is just the way that plants communicate with animals and other plants through odors. Some of the most familiar odors are the odors emitted from flowers, which we enjoy and pollinators use to locate host plants. There are fruit odors that seed disseminators can use to find fruits. There are the odors that are emitted from plants prior to herbivory, which insects can use to locate a host plant. There are odors that are then emitted in response to herbivory. And today, I'll be focusing mostly just on those odors that are emitted prior to herbivory and those ones that are emitted in response to herbivory. And something that is beginning to gain more attention when it comes to volatile signaling is the influence that systemic acquired resistance or induced systemic resistance may have on that volatile response. So induced systemic resistance and systemic acquired resistance are both physiological changes that happen to the plant in response to a microbe. And the classic two schools of thought on these are that in systemic acquired resistance, the plant is responding to a perceived pathogen, and that in induced systemic resistance, the plant is responding to a beneficial microbe, which then primes defensive genes so that when the plant does come under attack by an herbivore or a pathogen, that the plant can respond either in a greater way or more quickly. So these beneficial microbes that we're interested in, specifically we're interested in fungal endophytes. So fungal endophytes are asymptomatic endosymbionts of plants. They are ubiquitous in nature, and they have multiple ecological roles. We are mostly focused on or interested in their role as protective agents, and specifically how they can help protect plants against insects. So the overarching question that we have is can these beneficial microbes, through something like systemic acquired resistance or induced systemic resistance, influence herbivore host plant selection by influencing those volatile emissions? So to answer that question, there is actually some research that was recently published out of our lab which showed that treating cotton seeds with the spores of these two fungi, Phealmonium inflatum and Bavaria bassiana, actually deterred sucking bugs from feeding on those reproductive structures of the treated plants. So in choice tests, there is significant preference for untreated plants compared to the plants treated with the fungal spores. And in non-choice tests, there was a significant hesitancy for those sucking bugs to go to feed on those treated structures. So this research led us to develop this hypothesis that the endophyte treatment, that fungal spore treatment, is altering the composition of odors that are being emitted from those plants compared to the untreated plants. So I set out to test this hypothesis that the odors of treated plants are distinct from the odors of control plants. And before I talk about the actual method, I just want to point out that there's an important distinction in those volatile organic compounds, those odors that are emitted from the plants. There are the constitutive emissions, which are from undamaged plants. Those are emitted all the time. Those are those emissions that herbivores will use to find a host plant. But then when the plant comes under attack by an herbivore, and the plant has these induced emissions, which are pretty fairly different than the constitutive emissions, and we'll see some of that soon. So to collect the volatiles, the experiment itself was fully factorial, so we had plants with and without the endophyte treatment, and then for both of those treatments, we had plants with and without the herbivore, so we could get the constitutive and the induced profiles for both control and endophyte-treated plants. We replicated these experiments seven times. What we did is we enclosed first or second true leaves into these modified mason jars. These are my high-tech volatile collection chambers. And we incubated those leaves in there for 8 hours with two Spidoptera exigua larvae. So we used Spidoptera exigua to beat armyworm because they're a strong foliar feeder, and we really wanted to make sure we could get those differences in the constitutive and the induced emissions. So I sampled the headspace with SPEMI, solid phase microextraction, and analyzed those on a gas chromatograph with a flame ionization detector. And we identified the compounds by comparing them to the retention times of authentic standards. So one of the other things that we did in this work is that we quantified the levels of herbivory in those plants that were going to have the herbivore on them. So we photographed the individual leaves before the experiments using a stationary camera, and then we used this ImageJ software to actually quantify the square centimeters of the leaf that were consumed during the experiment. And by doing this, I was able to monitor or to understand if differences that we might see in induced emissions are due to differences in levels of herbivory. And we'll talk more about that in a little bit. So just to give a couple of typical chromatograms, at this point I have analyzed 7 terpenes and terpenoids. I'm going to analyze more compounds in the future. But at this point we've got 7 terpenes and terpenoids analyzed quantitatively. And what we found is that in the constitutive profile, so without an herbivore, there are no differences qualitatively or quantitatively due to endophyte treatment. But what we found with the induced profiles, when there is an herbivore present, 3 of these 7 terpenes are significantly affected by the endophyte treatment. So when you look at each compound individually and quantitatively, you see that pinene was emitted from Phialimonium inflatum-treated plants more significant in greater amounts than the Bovaria bassiana-treated plants and the control plants. And this, the difference was significant for across all treatments. So the Phialimonium inflatum-treated plants emitted significantly more than both the control and the other endophyte treatment. And we saw the same pattern with limonene and the same pattern with humulene. And when we used the ImageJ to understand the levels of herbivory, we saw that there was no significant difference in the levels of herbivory across treatment. So although we saw enhanced emissions of those 3 specific terpenes, we could not say that those were due to differences in levels of herbivory. So those are due to the endophyte treatment. So wrapping it all up, limonene, pinene, humulene specifically are emitted in greater amounts from cotton that has been treated with Phialimonium inflatum in response to herbivory. In trying to understand if this is due to the systemic acquired resistance or the induced systemic resistance, we have some evidence from an old paper, Perret and Tomlinson, 1997, where they showed specifically in cotton that limonene de novo biosynthesis is turned on in response to herbivory. So you saw in the typical chromatograms that limonene is emitted constitutively and in the induced states. But it is not just released from storage in the induced emissions. Actually, the plant begins to synthesize new limonene in response to herbivory. And since we saw greater amounts of limonene emitted from those treated plants without seeing any significant difference in the levels of herbivory, an enhanced emission of limonene is more likely due to the priming of those defensive genes, those genes that turn on to synthesize limonene in response to herbivory can do it either more quickly or in a greater way if the plant has been treated with Phialimonium inflatum. Same thing with pinene. There was just a paper that came out just recently in the Plant Cell where they showed that pinene is on a positive feedback loop with salicylic acid in systemic acquired resistance. And so in this paper, they showed that when pinene emissions go up, salicylic acid levels in the plant go up. And those increases in salicylic acid then lead to more pinene emissions. So there's that positive feedback loop. And what we have seen with some preliminary analyses of plant hormones that might be produced by these fungi, we see that there's a strong signal for Phialmonium inflatum to produce salicylic acid. So in these assays, what we did is we cultured these fungi of interest in broth, and then with a methanol extract of the broth, of just the supernatant without the biomass, using liquid chromatography and mass spectrometry, we see that some of these fungi can actually produce the plant hormones just constitutively. So maybe in this case with Phialmonium inflatum, it's producing something in the environment or in the plant that, you know, salicylic acid, and if that's triggering that positive feedback loop, that's some more evidence that maybe the Phialmonium inflatum is either triggering systemic acquired resistance or induced systemic resistance in cotton. So I feel like I went through that kind of fast, but I can take questions. How much time do I have? I have about 4 minutes.
You have 4 minutes. That's right.
All right.
We can have some questions. For the speaker.
Yes.
So I want to try to understand this. So you're saying the levels of the triploids were increased with the presence of the insect exclusive of the field.
Right. So the question is are those induced, are those enhanced emissions of those terpenes only in the presence of the herbivore? And yes, we did not see any differences in the constitutive profiles across treatment. So treating with this fungus does not make the plant constitutively produce more of those compounds. Instead, it seems to be priming the plant so that when an herbivore does attack, the plant can respond either more quickly or in a greater way. We only see that when the herbivore is present. Anything else?
So you have time for another question.
Okay. That was super crystal clear then. Thank you.
Thanks.